the voice of Berks and Beyond.
Welcome back as we kick off hour number two of Feedback, your on-air town square, here on the voice of Berks and Beyond, 830 WEEU. Good morning, everyone. I'm Bill Saunders, along with Sean Tansky. Our phone numbers here are 610-374-8800 or toll-free 888-401-0459. And our dedicated text line, if you prefer to text in your opinion, that number is 484-650-3373. And joining me right now on the Newsmaker line is Congressman Dan Muser, who represents the 9th Congressional District here in Pennsylvania. He's been in that position since 2019. That district encompasses a number of Pennsylvania counties, including Lebanon and Schuylkill here in our listening area, as well as parts of Berks. He's an American businessman and philanthropist, and he previously served as the Secretary of Revenue during Governor Tom Corbett's administration. He was previously president of the Pride Corporation, a manufacturer of motorized wheelchairs in the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area. And we welcome him to the show today. Congressman, how are you this morning?
Hey, Bill. Great. I'm very happy to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to have you with us today. Let's start off with something that the president announced yesterday. Yet another attempt at wiping out student debt, with the government's total debt now inching closer to $35 trillion. Was this a smart thing for the president to do?
Absolutely not. It's highly offensive to most of America, those who have paid off their loans, those who work through school, which were many. The president tried to override the Supreme Court, engaged in basically an unconstitutional activity last year, trying to relieve $500 billion of student debt. That was overturned by the Supreme Court. Yet this president, who's got, frankly, some tyrannical tendencies, was going at it again because, for political purposes, the support of people, just as losing support.
Whoop, I'm losing you. Congressman, I'm losing you because of your cell phone.
Okay. Well, just back to what I was saying, he's losing support, meaning the young voter. So he there is attempting basically buy their vote, by taxpayer dollars. So doing pension, we're near $5 trillion. $350 to $400 billion of that has been created because of the border crisis. American people, on top of human trafficking and everything else, poisoning our and crime our nation. It's costing the American taxpayers an additional $300 billion from what it had before. Add that onto the service on the debt, which has increased about $350 billion under Joe Biden. Put this on top. You know, that's $1 trillion of American taxpayer money that really doesn't do any good whatsoever. And Bill, you know what's wonderful, too? Joe Biden says, hey, reelect me. I got to finish the job. Okay, that there's no corrective course plan other than doing more of the same spending assault on American energy, leaving the borders open, and showing Chamberlain-esque weakness around the world, creating all kinds of military and violent conflicts.
Well, speaking of the debt, and given your background as a businessman, I'd like to get your thoughts on the government's operating on ongoing continuing resolutions rather than having a full year's budget in place. What are your thoughts?
Well, listen, you know, we just went through a budget ordeal, lasted, 8-9 months since when it was supposed to be done, October 1st. Mistakes were certainly made last summer. This should have been completed faster. We have our appropriations process, and you know, when you have a significantly divided government, it's hard to come to a resolution. I mean, you know, yes, we had majority in the House, a 5-vote majority. It's less today. And after 7 months, what has happened is, in this last budget, we did reduce a portion of discretionary spending. You know, one thing the American people just got to understand, when you have a $6.2 trillion spend, which is outrageous in itself, it should be pre-COVID levels, but the mandatory side of that, which Congress does not have oversight on, because that just goes up based upon law and demand of Medicare, Social Security, et cetera, service on the debt. We had to deal with the discretionary side, which was $1.7 trillion. $900 billion of that was military and veterans support. So we had to deal with about $700 to $800 billion, of which we reduced 3.6%. Now, with Biden in the White House and Schumer in the Senate, the choices were either continue in a CR, Nancy Pelosi's last year's budget, or we reappropriate some funds how we thought right and cut by that portion of discretionary by 3.6%. So, look, I didn't like it any better than anybody else because it's minimal and we need to do much stronger reductions. And the only way that's going to happen is with a new president, with Donald J. Trump, and removing Schumer from leadership in the Senate. It's just crucial. Biden's budget for next year is an astonishing, alarming $1.2 trillion more than this year, with some new taxes and everything else. I mean, it's governmental malpractice at its worst. His plan for our future.
I'm talking with Congressman Dan Muser. Congressman, the president keeps touting his successes under his Bidenomics policies, yet he complains that he's not getting credit for it. Do you feel the president deserves credit for how the economy is performing right now?
I'm going to try not to laugh for too long. You know, the only one getting enriched under Bidenomics is Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's family. Through the scandals and the nefarious individuals and corporations that they do business with around the world, where they get paid millions, and no one knows what those nefarious organizations got in return. That's what we're trying to investigate. No, my district is very unhappy with Bidenomics. Groceries continue to be are super high. I mean, let's face it, since he's come into office, the cost of goods is 20% higher, 19.6, 19.7, something like that. Okay, 20% higher. Even though inflation has slowed, everything is still much more expensive, including gasoline, which leads to increases in everything, everything that you do, the increase of gasoline and oil. So, no, Bidenomics is a disaster. They have no growth strategies. They seem to be okay with letting the Trump taxes expire. Spending, even Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary, told me in a public hearing that the only growth is the only growth strategy this administration has for the U.S. economy is to spend the taxpayers' money. And she said, yes. Yeah. She said, we need to continue investments in the United States. That was her exact remark. So they have no understanding of how to improve our economy, to make us more competitive, to create trade deals that improve manufacturing, to bring manufacturing home. All the things that were being done under the Trump administration, repatriation of funds. Our economy was booming. Wages were up. Unemployment was very low, real unemployment, not just government job unemployment. And that's what we have to get back to. I mean, Bidenomics is a total failure. And again, they have no plans for any corrective course in the future.
This week, the House is set to send its impeachment case of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate. First of all, what's your assessment of the border situation? And what do you think the chances are that the Democratic-controlled Senate will convict Mayorkas of any offenses?
Yeah, well, the border is an unmitigated disaster. I've been there four times. Joe Biden has done a drive-by. Kamala Harris, same thing. It's outrageous. Even how the media supports them and plays down the disaster at our border, where we have terrorists coming across. We have Chinese nationals by the tens of thousands. We got drugs, as mentioned. So it's a complete, utter disaster. Secretary Mayorkas is one of the worst individuals I've ever had to encounter in my life, let alone in Washington. I've been in meetings with him with five or six people where he just lies right to my face, tells me that the border is secure, does things like puts out a memo 2.5 months ago instructing CBP members to, if you're doing the processing of an illegal, make sure you ask them what their pronoun is. I mean, you know, unbelievably woke idiocy like that, when meanwhile we have human trafficking and death and borders that are so out of control and migrant crime taking place. Lincoln Riley, for instance, her death on a legal who was here with 12 different arrests. This is all the Biden responsibility and all those Democrats that vote with him. I mean, the idea that people are going to vote Democrat, frankly, and look, I'm former business guy. I mean, I'm here to get results and do the best I can to advance our country, to strengthen our country's national security, to strengthen our economy, and improve the United States' quality of life, all the while abiding by my oath of office and following the Constitution, which is the rule book. To me, it's really that simple. The Democrat playbook is to grow the size of government, be entangled in every aspect of people's lives possible, so there's no freedom of choice. It gets limited all the time, and have no understanding of the heavy debt and the the problems that's going to create in the future. So, you know, anyone who votes Democrat here in 2024 is voting for the current path, the current situation, the status quo. Right? Crises around the world, people like Putin invading Ukraine, the Middle East was at total peace. ISIS was wiped out under Donald Trump, and now it's burning. Mexico is laughing at us, allowing illegals to come through, and meanwhile the cartels, and it's a gangland. This is all under good old Joe. And unfortunately, we spent a lot of time in Congress this week. If you ask me what we're doing this week in Congress, it's fighting back against the Biden agenda, and not just him, the EPA, the SEC. I mean, they're all out of control, frankly, getting too entangled in free markets.
I'm talking so, with. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's what's going on. No, I'm sorry. I went on a little bit too long there, but that's the name of the game. I mean, and I know we can correct things, and Donald Trump and Dave McCormick in the Senate will get us there in short order.
I'm talking with Republican Congressman Dan Muser, who represents the 9th Congressional District here in Pennsylvania. And you mentioned crime. You recently introduced a bill called the Holding Prosecutors Accountable Act. Can you tell us what that measure is all about and how will it reduce crime in our country?
Sure. Thanks. It's real simple. We have far too many prosecutors throughout, district attorneys in many of our cities, Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, the list goes on, where the prosecutors 5, 6, 7 years ago were prosecuting 70-75% of violent criminals, which you'd expect. Today, in Philadelphia and in New York and in Washington, D.C., it's less than 40%. In some cases, we think it's less than 30%. They stopped giving us their data. So that's outrageous, and that is why we have such repeat offenders and crime through the roof. Carjackings are up over 100% just this year in Washington, D.C. Let's face it, New York, regardless of what they want to say, maybe there's some corrections taking place, but it's a disaster. Police recruitment is down. So because the police are just not respected at all. And by the way, most of these prosecutors were paid for, received millions of dollars literally towards their campaign from the likes of George Soros and his son, who and they bankroll many Democrats in elected office, including here in Pennsylvania. But this bill would require prosecutors to prosecute at least 67% of violent criminals, or they lose their funding. They lose their funding. And we demand the reports as well, which they've stopped providing, because for some reason, and I can't get into their heads and I can't rationalize it, I can't concoct why they would do this social experiment of theirs, this ideology that that jails don't work and it's a good idea to let violent criminals back on the street, needs to stop.
Congressman, what's your assessment of Mike Johnson's leadership, and does he still have the Republican Party's full support?
Yeah, you know, Mike Johnson's been a friend of mine since I've been in Congress. He's an extraordinarily honorable, good, honest person. He's a patriot. He's a constitutional attorney. He's just a good, decent man. And he came into a difficult situation that didn't have to happen in the first place, but it did, and so forth, removing McCarthy and everything else, and extending out the budget process even further, and extending out a lot of things that perhaps we could have made progress on. Look, Mike came in. He talks to a lot of people. He takes in a lot of information. He's a strategist. He really is. He's a chess player. He knows if he makes one move, another move's going to be made. So he's doing his best. You know, frankly, if there's one area that I've suggested he improve, and that is having the ability to walk away, on this budget. I think all options needed to be exhausted before having a shutdown, but walking away and having a shutdown should have been an option. Nevertheless, with the Biden White House and a Schumer Senate, I think he's coming up with the best that he can come up with, the best of the worst ideas or outcomes. So that's where it is. Now we're dealing with the Ukraine idea of funding and Israel. We got to shut down the border. There's got to be provisions for shutting down our border that need to be part of any such so-called supplemental, as they call it. Mike Johnson, I think, is going to hold fast with that. Regarding the Ukraine, we have to have a higher level of accountability. You know, Joe Biden and gang just want to provide a blank check with cash, with humanitarian aid, with military equipment just being sent over, with very little oversight. And we're not going to stand for that. You know, we pushed hard as well. I was in 6, 7, 8, 9 different meetings with Secretary Austin and Secretary Blinken, at least making the EU, the European Union, pay on a GDP equal basis as much as the American taxpayer was paying in previous funding for the Ukraine. And that's now happened. That's actually happened. We're at parity with the EU. We're still a little bit higher. So I'm not. We got to be very careful here with every dollar of American taxpayer money, and I think Johnson's going to do that, and we have to secure our nation first. Now, I think that's a concept that all nations should have as their first priority, you know, and it's known as America First. That's right, not America alone, but America First.
One of your colleagues, Marjorie Taylor Greene, is threatening to start a movement here, if she hasn't already, to oust Johnson as a speaker and go through this whole process again. Where do you stand on her efforts there?
Well, you know, I'm actually pretty good, friendly with Marjorie. Taylor Greene, I do respect her. She helped build a business. She came into Congress with all the right intentions. And she's portrayed sometimes on the media, and sometimes it's self-inflicted in a sort of a shrill way. But she's not a shrill person. So she doesn't like the idea of considering Ukraine funding while having our borders completely open. So she wants some tougher negotiations taking place. And I get that. I don't blame her at all. You know, as far as vacating the chair and removing Mike Johnson, I really don't know where that's going to get us. I don't know who the replacement would be. I don't know what sort of delays that would occur or that would create. So we're going to get back to Washington today and try to figure a lot of this out.
Is the GOP-led effort to impeach President Biden going anywhere, or is it a waste of time?
I don't know yet. We're still going through the impeachment inquiry. You need to have very clear evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors to engage in impeachment, very unlike what the Democrats did to Donald Trump. So we have a lot of smoke. We have a lot of evidence that, look, if the Biden family was engaged in a bank robbery, here you have Joe Biden on the phone with the bank robbers, those who admit that they paid off, individuals. He was in meetings with them. He was on the phone with them. He had emails with them. We have phone records. We have some payments being diverted to Joe Biden. I mean, the circumstantial evidence is absolutely overwhelming, and he would be convicted under those terms, normal terms. But he's president, so it needs to have a lot of clarity. And you know what? At this point, we got an election coming up in November 5th. The American people need to know the truth. We need to know if our president is corrupt. So those investigations will continue. But no, I highly, highly doubt, just as you asked me earlier, and I don't think I answered your question fully. Yeah, Schumer is going to avoid even an impeachment process or procedure, whether it's legal or not. They don't really pay much attention to that, if we've noticed. They are not going to have impeachment proceedings, meaning Chuck Schumer on Mayorkas, who is flagrantly and blatantly derelict in his duties of lying to Congress and not carrying out his job description at all. Complete, utter failure, and failure to enforce congressional laws that have been passed. Okay, that's a high crime. So if they're not going to even consider impeaching Mayorkas, no, they're not going to impeach Biden. Look, they won't even throw Menendez out. Menendez has obviously been paid off and then some in cash and gold bars found in his house, Senator Menendez from New Jersey, and this low ethical group known as the Senate Democrats won't remove a guy who's clearly been paid off by a foreign nation, by Egypt. So, yeah, that's unfortunately what we're dealing with over there, and that needs to be corrected. That's why we need to elect Dave McCormick. That's why we need a Republican leadership, and for corrective course, but as well as some ethical characters.
My guest this morning has been Republican Congressman Dan Muser, who represents the 9th Congressional District here in Pennsylvania. We have just a few seconds left, Congressman. Any further thoughts that you'd like to share with us today?
Well, I think Donald Trump, I think Republicans are looking good in Pennsylvania. This is very, very important. We had Steve Scalise was with us all day yesterday. We've had U.S. senators up, Republicans helping Dave McCormick this past week while I was in a district work week. There's so much at stake. The American people need to appreciate the most important thing we can do is come out and vote. Your vote counts. If we can improve Republican votes at each polling station by 5 or 6 or 7 throughout Pennsylvania, Donald Trump will win overwhelmingly by 5 or 6 or 7 votes, 5 or 6 or 7 people at each polling station. That's all. We will win. President Trump will be back in for 4 years and correct all this nonsense, and we will take the gavel away from Schumer and have great people like Dave McCormick in there, and we will have some House pickups. We have some real serious U.S. House pickups, and our state House needs to be won back over so they don't continue down the wrong path of outrageous spending. So we got to get out the vote, and we do have some mail-in ballot initiatives. We have some early voting initiatives, and I'm working diligently with many county commissioners and bringing people on board to be poll watchers so we protect our vote. And it's all about having as many people vote as possible, Democrats, Independents, and Republicans, but we have confidence in the outcome, and we got to have voter integrity. So that's what we'll be working with as well. But Bill, thanks for all the time and pleasure being on with you.
Thank you so much for being with us today. I look forward to having you on again.
Sounds great.
Congressman Muser,
have a great day.
Thank you. You do the same. And we'll be back with more feedback in just a bit. Stay with us.
Serving Paoli, Glenmore, Coatesville, and all of Chester County. This is News Talk 830, WEEU.